Blessing to worship God as a family. That is a blessing you can't understate. I'd like to share a couple of reminders before I introduce our morning speaker. I'd like to reiterate that these next two Sabbaths we are shutting down all church meetings and operations. And you are invited to view live stream. The only ones who will be here will be those who are actually either teaching or preaching or participating, but we're encouraging everybody else to watch online. You can even have a little church party at your house and invite a fellow church member or maybe even a neighbor and a friend to watch church together with you. So take advantage of that. Also, last night our youth and young adults started their youth young adult rally entitled The God Direction, and we continue today at 2 p.m. and then 4 p.m. For you who are 18 to 35-ish, around there, give or take, take advantage, particularly because after today, we're shutting down. So this will be basically the last portion of our church services for the next 2 weeks or so. And so at 2 o'clock, we continue today here in the sanctuary. And we are so blessed to have Marco and Lisa Topete with us. They are no strangers to us, but nonetheless, they come to us from Southern California. Originally, he's from San Jose, California, and Lisa's from Arizona, but raised in Fresno. And they come to us and because they want to serve the Lord. They come to us because they want to tell of his goodness and power. And for me, it's a special joy because they're part of my family. And as I said earlier, to worship the Lord with your family is such a blessing. So we don't always get to be together to worship, but what a blessing it is. And so I'd like to thank you both for coming here. They had to change all of their plans because of flights as they need to get back to Southern California. They were planning to stay a little longer, but they need to get back home ASAP, as who knows how airports and traveling is going to be further affected. But nonetheless, we did not come here to talk about what is limiting us these days. We came to talk about the one who is omnipotent. And so, Marco, I'd like to invite you to come and share, and we're so thankful that you both are here.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? It's a pleasure to be with you guys here again today. I think it's been about a year since I've been to Roseburg, and I always take full advantage of the opportunity when I have the opportunity to actually be here. There are exciting things happening in Southern California. We just recently had a little glow trip that took place in Orange County and Los Angeles County, where 480,000 glow tracks were distributed over the course of 5 days. And it was such a blessing to be able to participate in that. I remember there was this young man who was approached in the parking lot of a Walmart. And when the young glower handed them a glow track, the guy took the track, looked at it, and said, "You guys must be Seventh-day Adventists." And he said, "Yes." And he said, the man who received the glow track replied, "You know, I once was a Seventh-day Adventist as well. And I'm taking this as a sign that I need to get back to church." And I remember there was another lady, when I was in a parking lot sharing glow tracks, there was a lady who was next to a taco truck where all great things happen. And I walked over there, I handed her a glow track, and she was just beside herself. She said, "I can't believe that you came to give me this glow track. I was just now praying because I'm going through something really difficult with my family." And she said, "I can't believe that God answers prayer this quick. And we were able to have a conversation about the Lord. We prayed together, and she even asked me where the nearest Seventh Avenue church was, which happened to be across the street from where I met her. It's so awesome to see how God is moving in Southern California, as I know that he is moving in Roseburg. And even our younger crowd are being activated. We just had a mission trip in Pasadena, California, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And this was specifically for high school students. So our academies came together, and we passed out 20,000 glow tracks in 2 days, and even did a little survey, and we accumulated 260-something leads for the local church, including 37 Bible studies. So there are people out there who are wanting to study the Bible. Isn't that so? Sometimes all we got to do is ask. That's it. Just ask. So I'm excited to be here in Roseburg. It always serves as the ability to share about what God is doing, but also the ability to rest a little. And you know, after seeing so much cement over the course of the last year in metal and glass and traffic, it really is refreshing to my wife and I to worship with you guys here in Roseburg. We took a nice drive to Glide on the 138 a couple days ago. Literally had no destination, just drove, and was able to kind of take in the scene. So you guys are blessed to be here. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to get into this morning's Bible study. You guys ready? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this time is yours. May you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across an article recently, and the article's title was The Top 10 Most Desolate Places on Earth. I don't know why it got my attention, but I clicked on it, and I started to read it. And let me share with you just a few of these desolate places on earth that really caught my attention. The first one that really caught my attention was Tristan da Cunha in St. Helena. This place is in the southern Atlantic Ocean, and the closest land is 2,800 kilometers away. It's a little island that did not have a zip code until 2005. In fact, this place received mail by ship only once a year. Imagine that. You may have to cancel your Amazon Prime if you're there, right? First thing that came to my mind. Number two place that was really interesting to me, the most desolate places on earth, Whittier, Alaska. They have about 200 residents here. And when the residents are there working, they all live in the same building during the winters. It's a 14-story condo that's tucked between the mountains. In fact, the police station and the post office can be found on the first floor. How about that for a speedy response? Only one road leads into the city, and if you drive by night, that road is closed. Very, very desolate place. Last one I'll share with you this morning that I found interesting happens to be in Norway, Longyearbyen, Norway. It's a coal mining town. It's best known for majestic northern lights. I know my wife has been wanting to see the northern lights. Maybe we'll go to Longyearbyen, Norway. It's said to be the world's largest area of untouched nature. Any nature fanatics here? Untouched nature. The population is about 2,000 when it was last taken. The dark season, which lasts about 4 months, is a season of complete pitch dark for 4 months. Pretty interesting, huh? I kept reading down, but I didn't find Roseburg on the list. So Roseburg is really not that desolate after all. Amen? But in the Bible, we read about another desolate place that took place, and that is where our Bible study is going to take us in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter what? Chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, Our Bible study is going to start here. And the first point that I want to share with you guys from Scripture is that the God we serve has the power to create. Has the power to what? Has the power to create. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right from the start of the Bible, the very first words of the Bible declare that nothing that you and I know has happened by chance. There was a beginning with a creator who did a beautiful job in making the heavens and the earth happen. In fact, his God was so closely connected to creation that nothing that happened would have happened without his intervention. The creator initiated the created. And if he created something, then I must believe that he had a plan for it. Because nothing that God creates happens without a specific reason. You don't have to turn there, but a well-known verse is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, which says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Right from the beginning, we are introduced to a God who created everything we know, even the things that we still don't know. And this is important. There's a story about a scientist who, after observing creation, and you might remember this story from maybe three quarterlies ago. That's how you know you've been Adventist for a while, when you reference time according to quarterlies. Amen? Remember when that happened two quarterlies ago? And I remember this story very clearly because I thought it was funny. It was not a true story, but nonetheless told a point. And this scientist observed creation so much that he thought he had a better way of creating things. So after observing things for a while, he challenged God and said, "I will create things better than you." How many of us remember the story? And God allowed the scientist to try to outdo him in creation. Finally, once the scientist was done with his research, he called God and said, "Now is the time that I will show you that I can create better than you can." And God said, "Well, show us." So the scientist got down on his knees and he started to gather the dirt that was about him to start creation better than God. And God stopped him and said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Before you can do that, you first must create dirt." The Bible starts by telling us that there is a creator, no matter what men or science may say. And even though we don't always have the perfect answer for what happens, it is a call to trust that he who created also could sustain. Point number one, the God that we serve has the power to create. From the biggest to the smallest, we have a creator. From the most unique to the most simple, we have a God. We have a Savior that cares for his creation. And nothing escapes his watchful eye. If you don't believe me, just think about the birds. In Los Angeles, you don't have a lot of nature, but one thing that I do appreciate is the specific area that my wife and I live in, Tujunga. I don't know if a local breeder or collector or something like that lost his collection of birds, but there are a lot of parrots, a whole lot of parrots. I don't remember specifically what kind of parrot it is, but they're beautiful, green, vocal birds. And look at what the Bible has to say about these birds in Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap harvest, nor gather the crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? This Creator God that we have, friends, keeps a watchful eye over his creation. If this loving God has an eye on the bird, then I must believe that he also has an eye on Marco, that he also has an eye on you. Even when I do not feel his watchful gaze, I must believe the words of the Bible more than my literal feelings. Even when everything around me is telling me that I do not deserve his watchful eye, I must believe that if he cares and feeds the birds, then he will care and feed me too. Even when I have fallen away from him and feel that there is a no coming back, I must believe the words of the Bible that tells me of a creator that loves his creation. I do not know how long it's been since someone has told you point blank, but I'll let you know from the pulpit this morning, you have a creator in heaven that loves you, that cares for you, that watches you, that can't wait to reveal himself more and more and more to you. I must hope against hope that this God we are introduced to in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, has our best in mind. And why is it important in the context of the most desolate places on earth that we have a creator God that loves us? It leads me to point number two. Point number one is the God we serve has the power to create. Point number two is simply his power is most seen when he recreates dark places. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, this is what the Word of God says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And what was there, friends? What does the Bible say? The Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the waters. Friends, this sounds like nothing of where my wife and I took our honeymoon. We ended up spending a week after we got married in Kauai. Anyone been to Kauai before? Oh, my, my, my. But this was a different place. This was a desolate place. This was a place that was not desirable. This was a place that did not have a postal code. It was desolate, empty, dark, undesirable. And of all the places in the universe that God could have chosen to start his masterpiece, he chose this one, in Genesis 1, verse 2. I think there's a powerful lesson to be learned from his choice. This lesson is pretty obvious, but God often chooses the desolate, empty, dark, and undesirable things to carry out his will and accomplish his work. Have you noticed that in Scripture? We see this time and time again in the Old and also in the New Testament. He often passes before those things that look good in order to manifest himself. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, Gideon was hiding in a wine press when God showed up and told him his mission. David, the young sheep herder, who later became known as a giant slayer. Moses, an outcast in the middle of the wilderness, coming to deliver the people of God. Peter, a fisherman with a strong backbone and better known to speak before he thought. Matthew, a tax collector who was not only hated by his people, but also not accepted by the Romans. Well, let's bring it a little closer to home. Where were you before you accepted Jesus into your life? Does Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 describe your life at all, friends? Without form, void, were you empty before you came to the Lord? Was darkness all around you before you came to the Lord? Where were you before you came to our loving Savior? The reason why it's so important that we serve a God who has the power to create is not just because of what he can create externally, but most importantly, of what he can create internally. Yes, he created the mountains, he created the seas, he created everything that we look at as beautiful, but it does not compare to what he could create in the heart. The heart is a really interesting place, isn't it? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, the heart deceives us in making us feel that we're actually doing pretty good, especially when we're busy doing good things. But the moment that we stop to realize that our heart is desperately wicked is the chance that Satan has. The part that I love most about God is the fact that he promised us to give us a new heart. He promises not just to give us a new heart, but also to write his very own law in our hearts. So if you're having trouble wanting to carry out God's will, you find yourself in a good place because there is a God who can literally write his holy law upon your heart. To the point where now what used to be a burden is now delightful to do. Has anyone had that experience? What I used to hate to do, now I love. And what I used to love to do, now I hate. The book Evangelism says that the conversion of the soul is the greatest miracle that God has ever done. When you see someone that used to live and love sin now live and love righteousness, you are literally seeing a modern day miracle. I'd like to submit that some of you guys, if not all of you guys, sitting in these pews this morning, were all sitting miracles. Because some of us never found ourselves in church. In fact, I remember when I started coming to church, you've heard my story. I was a drunkard, killed a friend back in 2009 over drunken driving. Didn't want anything to do with God, didn't want anything to do with religion. And when I started to come to the Lord, all of my friend groups were saying, the reason Mark is going to church is because he's afraid of going to jail. But it's almost been 10 years since that happened. And by God's grace, I am still here this Saturday morning. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. No one knows that that's a miracle more than my wife, because no one knows me better than my wife here on earth. But it's a miracle. And maybe you can say the same thing. You sitting here in this pew is a miracle, because the natural heart is at war with God and it cannot conform to his will. Neither can it be. Oh, I'm getting excited, because we serve a God that can create, and we also serve a God that shines brightest when he creates in the darkest of places, which leads me to my last point. This is a simple message, amen? Last point. God has the ability to recreate you. I think it's the most important point, friends. What good is a God who can create if we ourselves are lacking recreation? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, this is what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read it from verse 1 down to verse 3. Verse 3 will be our ending verse. In the beginning, God created, you can read it with me, the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, friends. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, man. This is too simple, Brendy. It doesn't make sense. Are you meaning to tell me this morning that all God had to do was basically speak and there was light? This is too simple. Surely there has to be something more. Kind of like natural remedies, right? Oh, I done broke my foot. It's okay, put charcoal in it. Like, what? Wait, did you not hear what I said? And then you put it on, and it feels better. My wife's favorite go-to thing is charcoal. My stomach hurts, charcoal. I got a bug bite, charcoal. This is infected charcoal. And I'm like, can you bring out the drugs? But when I listen to her, it actually works. More of the story, listen to your wife. That's a side point. The darkness vanished when God spoke. If you're only going to take one thing away from this message this morning, let it be this. When God speaks, darkness vanishes. I don't think I understand the power of God's word, because it creates a problem in my brain. Can it really be that simple? What would my life look like? What would our life look like? What would this church's life look like if we really believed wholeheartedly that God's word was exactly that powerful? In 1848, there was a major event that shook the West Coast. Do you remember what happened in 1848? Specifically in the Sacramento Valley. What was that? The gold rush. Early 1848, some gold nuggets were found in Sacramento Valley, and these gold nuggets were worth a lot more than those chicken nuggets at McDonald's. And by the end of 1849, the population in California, and specifically that area, had grown from 1,000 residents to over 100,000 residents 1 year. And those days, when there weren't any planes, you better believe that was a lot of people. In fact, people traveled from all over the world to this place. They went by sea. They went by carriage. They risked everything. Some died along the way because of illnesses. Others were starved when they got caught up in the harsh winter. But that did not stop them. People heard of people dying, but people still sold everything they had. They left families. They left farms. They left everything they knew in order to try to come and strike it rich. All because they believed the word of some article that was published that gold could be found there. They believed the words and they called them into action. Let me tell you, friends, people, there are still riches to be made. I'm not calling you to move to the Sacramento Valley. But there are still riches to be made. But in order to receive them, just like the miners of old, we need to dig deep into God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you want to know how conviction feels like? Read the Bible. Because in the Bible,
God reveals himself. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness." You want to know how to live in righteousness? Don't ask Google, Siri, or Facebook. Don't even ask the person sitting next to you right now. If you want to know how to live in righteousness, go to the Bible. It is here that we learn how to live. In fact, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for what, friends? Salvation." If you want to know how to be saved, it is found in the Bible. Let there be light. God spoke, and it was done. The first point we saw, friends, the God we serve has the power to create. The second point we saw is his power is most seen when he recreates dark places. And the last point that we see is that God has the ability to recreate you. There's a story of a young boy who built a little boat. And when he built this little boat, he was excited because it took up all of his time and resources. And one day when he was floating this little boat down the river, it never came back to the other end where it was supposed to land, and he lost it. And this boy was so heartbroken that he had lost his little boat that he had created. And one day he was walking home from school and he happened to walk by this pawn shop. And in the glass of this pawn shop, guess what he saw in that glass? His little boat. And when he saw this little boat in the glass of this pawn shop, he went in there and he told their owner the truth. He said, "This little boat belongs to me because I created it." Man says, "Well, it must have belonged to you once upon a time, but now it's on my shelf, so there's a price for it." And this little boy was determined, so he went home, and he started mowing lawns. He went home, and he started selling things that he no longer needed, his little toys, and he did everything he could in order to come up with the money that he needed to get his little boat back that he created. And one day, he came up with the money. And you know what he did? He went to the pawn shop. And he went back and he presented the money to the owner, bought his little boat back. And now he loved it times two. Because not only did he create it, but now he also redeemed it. Friends, the most beautiful thing that I can share with you this morning is there is a God in heaven. Heaven who created you. And although we sometimes get in the way of his plans for our lives, it doesn't mean that he casts you aside and tries to look for another created little boat. Although sometimes we get ourselves into some things that are not according to his will, it does not mean that he forgets us. And this is demonstrated because although he could have left this world in shambles, there was a plan that took place. And in this plan, it was agreed that the Son of God was going to come down from glory. And he was going to exchange his bright clothes of righteousness for the simple garments of a carpenter. He was going to exchange his crown of glory for a crown of thorns. He was going to exchange the adoration and the acceptance of angels for the mistreatment and torture of those he created in the first place. he came down and died on Calvary for you and for me, he loves you times two. Because not only did he create you, but he also now has redeemed you. I don't know about you, but when I hear that story spoken, and I think about his ability to recreate, my heart jumps for joy, because even though I'm not where I need to be, I believe by faith that he'll take me to where I should be. Where are you at this morning? Do you need a little light? Where are you at this morning? Do you need some recreating to happen within your own life and within your own heart? Because if you do, the words that are spoken in Scripture are still spoken today. Let there be light. If you need light this morning, I want to ask you to stand to your feet because I want to pray for you. If you need some recreating to happen within you, I want to pray specifically for you. Some of us have been in church for a whole long time. Some of us have been in church longer than I have been alive. But God ain't done working. And he will continue to work until he returns. He's not done working. But if he has the power to create something from nothing, then I must believe that he has the power to recreate us. Father in heaven, you spoke and it happened. Your very word has power. Some of us this morning, Lord, come from places that we've been to because we chose to be there. Other of us, Lord, are struggling with things because there were circumstances that were out of our personal control. But nonetheless, we need recreating. Nonetheless, we need to be restored. Nonetheless, we need the darkness that we may be battling with. We need the light of Jesus to shine upon those places. By standing, Father, we are admitting to you only that we need some light in our darkness. Maybe there's a little crevice of our heart that light has not yet penetrated, but by faith, we believe that you can penetrate even there. And this morning, Father, we could have stayed home because of this and because of that. But we are here because we are thirsty. We are thirsty travelers on our way home. Thank you, because you spoke and it happened, and you will speak and it will happen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
And as we have made a decision for God to continue recreating our lives, we have a hymn of response. Our response is, "Have thine own way, Lord." Amen. Let us stand. Hymn number 567. We continue today at 2:00. Make plans, young people, young adults. First, second, and last. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
last verse.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. My being, absolute sway, fill with thy spirit till all shall sink. Christ, for me always, living in me.
Thank you, because we believe that you can have your own way when we just simply ask and get out the way. We want to say, Lord, we are willing this morning. May your will be done in our lives today, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.